Introduction. In the essential order of prey-predator food chain, there exists a delegation of creatures perched at the highest level with few natural enemies. The polar bear and the Nile crocodile are some notable apex predators that not only rule their respective alimentary niches, but also have been responsible for more than one human death. Biologists and animal behavior specialists do debate the assertion that these creatures are actually seeking out man as prey, but no one will dispute the very real danger that these animals can present to a person caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. Of all the predators implicated in man-eating events, none conjures up more intense dread than the shark. It is certainly terrifying to be confronted by a bear deep in the woods or a tiger in a remote village in India, but it is, perhaps, of some small comfort to know that a single shot from a rifle can thwart the danger from such a visible terrestrial predator. It is quite another issue, however, to imagine being a shipwrecked sailor, a surfer, or a beach bather about to be attacked, dismembered, and consumed by a dark, black-eyed monster with razor-sharp teeth, vice-like jaws, and sandpaper-like skin. What is so terribly disconcerting about this scenario is that the ocean is an environment that hinders both our ability to see the approaching danger and complicates our most natural and effective means of escape. The shark, on the other hand, is the master predator of its domain. Conditions that are only marginal for human comfort and survival are the same conditions that allow this powerful creature to spring suddenly and mercilessly upon us. In 1975, the release of the major motion picture Jaws touched off an international shark attack panic. Peter Benchley, author of the novel, said in an interview commemorating the 25th anniversary of this classic work, "Completely, inadvertently, it tapped into a very, very deep fear." The Benchley story depicts a fearsome beast of the deep that strikes first at an unsuspecting nighttime skinny dipper. Next, with an explosion of airborne blood, the Jaws monster devours a pathetically innocent boy riding on a raft, and even ventures into uncharted territory to dismember a swimmer recreating in a narrow inlet. As the novel and the film progress, a rampant shark hunt does little to quell the snowballing fear of a sea-going phantom. It's impossible to forget the image of the black-veiled mother mourning the death of her son, or the frantic shark hunters who scramble to safety as their dock refuge is pulverized by the 20-foot white shark. In the end, hopes and tension ride on the skills of the crusty Captain Quint, Robert Shaw, and his two-man crew, Amity Police Chief Martin Brody, Roy Scheider, and dedicated ichthyologist Hooper, Richard Dreyfuss. The audience's fear of sharks, however, did not end with the roll of screen credits, and to some extent, they live on, four decades later, in the minds of those of us who spend time among the breaking waves. The exact origins of this seemingly inherent fear are unknown. What is known, however, is that the mechanical shark attacking the makeshift Hollywood set is neither the first nor nearly the most terrifying instance of shark attack the world has ever seen. What is also known is the fact that world-famous shark hunter Frank Mundus had predecessors working his dangerous occupation during the early part of the 20th century. In reality, many or most of the elements that gave Jaws its punch have a correlate in a real-life horror that unfolded 100 years ago. Indeed, man's widespread baptism to sharks and attacks took place nearly 60 years before Jaws was written, at the beginning